Well, he is a good, good father. And the question this morning is, how are his children? Everybody doing all right? Church, you doing all right today? Good. It's good to see everybody here. Kind of a couple dreary Sundays back to back. I'm ready for a beautiful day of worship, and I'm sure they're on their way. This morning is the final message in our Possibilities series that we started in January at the beginning of the year. How many of you have enjoyed this series? How many of you have gotten at least a little something out of it? Good, good. I know I have. That's typically the case. But we're going to have our final message in the series today. And I hope that each one of you who have walked with us through this series have latched on to that big thing that you're believing God for this year. And my prayer is that that possibility becomes a reality for you. But before we dive into the scripture this morning, I want to share with you something that happened this week that I believe punctuates everything that we've been talking about in this series. On January 14th, a few weeks back, if you were here, we had the big reveal, if you will, that we have every year to reveal to you guys the amount of money that you gave in December that goes into the Here and There campaign. And does anybody remember that number? Our goal was $101,000 to be given this last December, which would have put us $1,000 ahead of last year's giving. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. You guys are so generous. Does anybody remember what our number was? $97,295, which is an amazing number. I mean, we crushed our budget expectations for the year. It was the second best giving December that we've ever had here at Tapestry. And so we praised God and thanked Him, you know, that we would be able to give a significant amount of money to the mission endeavors that we had chosen through the Here and There campaign. But as I mentioned that morning, you know I shouldn't have been, but I was a little bit disappointed. Anytime, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but if you set a goal, even if you just come, I mean, within a penny of that goal, you know, it's like, golly, Pete, you know, we didn't get there. So in my heart, and I shared that, you know, I was a little disappointed that we missed the goal. And I'd been praying for that goal for about 2.5 months. In 2017, prior to December. And so I wanted to share a little something with you. A couple weeks ago, I received an email from the company that processes our online giving. Okay, we have a company that, you know, processes all that, takes care of that for us. And this is what the email said. It said, "Your organization was affected by an issue that omitted some December 2017 online giving records from donor history and reports. Because year-end contribution statements may be impacted, we ask that you review these newly identified transactions immediately." You see where this is going? So upon review, so Faye, who takes care of all of our bookkeeping and that kind of thing, upon review and upon her reconciliation, her complete reconciliation of the December giving, additional transactions were actually discovered. And so as we close this Possibilities series today, we have a tangible, timely reminder that nothing is over until God says it's over. That we serve a God who specializes in resurrecting foregone conclusions. Do you hear me? So our final number for December giving is now 102,236. Isn't that awesome? I know the skeptics out there saying Phil's cooking the books. I can assure you, no books are being cooked. the best giving December in the history of Tapestry, and well over $1,000 above the goal that we set. And significant amounts of money are going to the water project in Shadrach, going to Sunshine on a Rainy Day to help handicapped children right here in this community. And I'm just blown away. When Faye texted me that earlier this week, I was at the house. It was probably about 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. I just sat in my chair and laughed for 5 minutes. I mean, I was, what an amazing God we serve, and what a, I don't know, I guess a sense of humor, or as a friend of mine put it, boy, he is a mischievous God, isn't he? Just amazing. You know, it's not the money here. I mean, we're just talking about, you know, a little bit of money. It's the fact that God would care enough to move that needle for us. That He would honor our praise of Him even when we didn't meet the goal and give us the desires of our heart. And that's exactly what we've been talking about in this Possibilities series. That is the fingerprint of God. And I don't want you to miss that. Believe Him for big things. Believe God for big things. Don't give up on anything and honor Him. Honor Him, praise Him, regardless of what the outcome appears to be. Amen? You know, we're going to continue to talk about that today in this final message, which is entitled Praying for Possibilities. Praying for Possibilities. If you've got your Bibles with you or your phones or pads, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, the very first gospel in the New Testament. And it is in Matthew 26 that we discover Jesus Himself prayed for possibilities. And so we've got a good model to follow here. Following the Last Supper with His disciples, just prior to His arrest in the garden, Jesus leads His disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. And a fascinating study I did years ago on the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane literally means the press. The press. And there is an area in Gethsemane where they would extract the oil from the olives. Okay, they would harvest the olives from the Mount of Olives, and then they would bring the olives to Gethsemane, and there was this massive stone that they would use, almost like a mill, to grind the olives, to extract the olive oil from the olives. And that's why Gethsemane is called Gethsemane, because it is the place of the press. Think about that. And it is the place where Jesus prayed just prior to His arrest. In agony and under extreme pressure, He gathered His disciples and He says, "Wait here, pray with me." And He hit His knees because He knew what was coming. He was under pressure that we cannot possibly even imagine. And He began to pray to His Father. Gethsemane is the place where Jesus' Father would extract from Him that which was most precious. His full surrender. His full surrender. And as we believe God for big things and as we pray for possibilities in our own lives, we learn much from Jesus' prayer here in the garden. Follow along with me as I read chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. And then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, the press, and He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John, along with Him. And He began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Anybody ever felt like that? Man, I have. It's like, Lord, just take this away. I don't know how much longer I could stand it. Jesus knows how you feel. He knows how you feel. That's the beauty of His humanity, that He has experienced everything that we experienced. And yet He responded in each and every one of those situations with perfection before the Father. He tells Peter and James and John, man, stay here and keep watch for me. And then Matthew tells us that He goes a little farther. Don't miss that. And He is under the most extreme pressure that He has ever been under in His life, yet He does not stop. Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and He prayed, my Father, if it is what? Possible. Jesus is praying for a possibility. He says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not I, not as I will, but your will be done. You know, the first thing we learn from Jesus in the garden right here is that it is okay to pray for possibilities. It is okay to ask God for big things. It is okay, and there is no shame in asking God to take something away because you feel like it's just too much. And we all get to that place. We all get to that point sometimes. And we have Jesus' model here that gives us permission, if you will, to go to the Father and say, God, take it away if it's possible to be taken away. It's okay to pray for possibilities. Man, when life is crashing down around you and when you cannot see a way out, which is exactly where Jesus was, and His humanity, His flesh was screaming, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. It is okay to ask God to remove that pressure. Jesus prayed for that possibility here. But notice He continued to move in the direction God had led Him. He didn't stop. He went a little further. And as He pressed further into what God had called Him to do, He literally fell to the ground. And we learned from another version of this story that Jesus is on His knees and He is on the ground and He is sweating and He is under so much pressure in Gethsemane that He's not just sweating and perspiring, He begins to sweat drops of blood, which is an actual physical reality and happens with human beings on occasion. This is just not unique to Jesus. And some of you have stopped moving forward in a difficult situation. Some of you have just thrown up your hands and quit because you don't believe at this point that anything is going to change. You stop praying about something that's been in place in your life for years, and you've resigned yourself to that difficult situation. Man, if we learn anything from Jesus here, we learn to always go a little further. Do you hear me? Don't quit. It's not over until what? God says it's over. Don't stop. Go a little further. Man, perseverance weaves its way through the Scripture like a tapestry. This walk of faith, this side of heaven, this long obedience in the same direction. Let me tell you something I've learned after doing it for over 25 years walking with the Lord. It is really all about perseverance. There's going to be good days. There's going to be days to celebrate. There's going to be hard and difficult times where you are tempted just to throw in the towel. Jesus went a little further, and he calls us to do the very same thing. Be honest with God about your pain. Never stop praying for possibilities. And Jesus asked his Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken from me. And the cup that he's referring to here, you know, a lot of people say, what in the world is he talking about? As we move back through the New Testament and we see the prophecies of the wrath of God coming down upon sinful man, we learn that the cup that he's referring to here contains the wrath of God for the sins of men. Think about that. I mean, our minds can't even wrap around that reality. Jesus' mind could. The cup that would be poured out on Jesus for the forgiveness of those sins. That he would be the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. And that wrath was coming his way. The contents of that cup would cause his blood to shed and ultimately his life to be taken on our behalf. The pressure of that was unbearable for Jesus as he fell to the ground and that blood began to pour from his brow. And so he prayed that God would take it away. He prayed for the possibility. Let me ask you something this morning. Where do you need to go a little further? Where do you need to pray for a possibility? Maybe to bring life and love back to your marriage. Maybe to bring a prodigal child back home again. Maybe for the possibility of a new job that you actually want to get up and go to every day. It's okay to pray for possibilities. But as we look at Jesus' model here, it's even better to surrender your future fully to the Father. Yet not as I will, Jesus said. I mean, he is in excruciating agony. This is mental, emotional agony. The physical aspect of his suffering has not begun yet. But I'll tell you what, this may have been worse than the physical aspect of his suffering. We all know what it feels like to suffer emotionally. To suffer mentally, to have that pressure inside of us that we can barely articulate, but we just know it is closing in and we cannot handle it anymore. Man, that's where Jesus was. That's what he was going through. And instead of saying, Father, take it away or I'm walking away. Can't tell you how many times I've seen that over the years as a pastor. God didn't take it away. I'm done. I'm walking away. Jesus didn't say that. You know, in the pain that he was in, he said, yet not as I will. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. And that's where God wants us to be. In every aspect of our lives. Man, under the kind of pressure that we cannot even imagine, Jesus prays for the possibility of that pressure to be removed, and then he immediately surrenders his will to the Father. Ultimately, Jesus would experience what he prayed for it to be taken away. But God would use his experience to demonstrate the greatest love that man has ever seen and make it possible for every human being to come home to him. There would be no salvation had Jesus walked away. Jesus prayed for a possibility, but he surrendered the outcome to his Father. That's our model. Many pray for possibilities, and when God appears to not deliver, they walk away from Him. They endure the beating, they hang on the cross, they lay lifeless in the grave, but they walk away on the second day. And the third day is coming. We stop too soon. We don't go a little further. And we give up on God before we should give up on God. God's calling us to surrender our futures fully to Him. To continue to press in Him regardless of what our circumstances appear to be. Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. Again, Jesus went away a second time and He prayed. He's like, man, that time didn't work. I'm still feeling this way. Anybody ever been there? You ever got up off your knees and said, Lord, help me. You get up off your knees, it's like, doggone. I still feel the way I felt before I hit my knees. Well, that's where Jesus is. And so Jesus goes back a second time to pray. And this time He doesn't say, if it is possible. He says, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, unless I receive your wrath as the son that you love and cherish. He says, if it's not possible for that cup to be taken away unless I drink it, let's go. May your will be done. Come on. I'm with you regardless of the pain. I'm with you regardless of where this journey takes me, because I trust you. And I know your character. And of all people, Jesus knew the Father, part of the triune God. They were one. And as a human being, and responding from a human standpoint, He says, I'm with you, man. Take me where you need me to go, because I know you are a good, good Father. And that's where He wants us to be. He surrendered His future fully to the Father. And that's what He's calling us to do as we pray for possibilities in our own lives. Next Sunday, we're really going to be beginning an extension of this series that will take us to Easter Sunday, will take us to the third day, to Resurrection Day. We're going to start a series called 40 Days of Prayer. And I want to encourage each one of you, coming out of what we've been talking about these first couple months of 2018, to engage fully with the church in this 40-day process, if you will, this 40 days of prayer. And I'm trusting God to do deep and wonderful things in our church and in our hearts as we seek Him in preparation for the resurrection. As Brandon mentioned earlier, if you're not already in a small group, if you have not connected to a small group here in the church, that is an integral part of what these 40 days is all about. We want to go deeper with God, and we want to go deeper with one another in community. So let me encourage you, let me challenge every member and regular attender here at Tapestry to get connected to one of these groups. Stop by the table in the foyer as you leave today. They'll start on Sunday morning. Some of the groups meet before church. They'll start on Sunday morning next Sunday. So make sure that you get signed up today. If you're a couple and you're looking for a group, we have a couples group that could use a couple more couples, if you will. And so just let Teresa know at the table that you're interested in being going through this journey with some other couples, and she'll get you squared away. With Jesus' journey in Gethsemane as our backdrop this morning, and His model of praying for the possibility that God would take the pressure away from His life and yet surrendering fully to the Father, I thought it appropriate that we come to the Lord's table this morning and that we, with all that we've talked about here, praying for big things in our lives, praying for possibilities. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what big thing that you're believing God for right now, but we just want to punctuate what we've been talking about so far this year by giving you an opportunity just to lay it at the altar, just to acknowledge Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sin, and to give you an opportunity to surrender anything that you may need to surrender this morning to Him. And so as we approach the Lord's Supper, I want to challenge you, as Paul said, to examine your hearts before we partake of the elements, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, and as symbolically represented on this table, and allow Him to do a work in you. Allow Him to pry your fingers off of whatever it is you might be holding on to. Allow Him to chart your path forward. If there's a situation in your life that you have given up on and that you have decided you're not moving further into, allow God to breathe a fresh wind into your life this morning as we approach this table. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for the privilege of being followers of Christ. Lord, it is our chief goal as believers to become like Jesus. And we thank You, Father, that the pages of Scripture just reveal His life to us, that we might step in His footsteps. And Lord, as we gather today to pray for the possibilities in our own lives, as we gather today to celebrate the possibilities that You make realities right here for us as a church, and to celebrate that tangible reality as we gather to lay before You those areas of disappointment in our lives, those areas, Lord, that we have or want to give up on. Father, we pray that You would just comfort us, that You would guide us, Lord, that You would give us the wisdom and the courage to go a little further in our relationship with You and in surrendering our hearts and lives fully to You. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.